A reading from William Schultz. Religion and justice are born on each other's wings. Religion and justice are born on each other's wings. What makes them such soulmates?
Every single one of us knows what it is like to bleed. Every one of us has experienced pain.
If that were not a fact of human existence, we might not notice the suffering of the world.
Because it is, we do.
Every single one of us knows what it is like to bleed. In one respect, pain is a gift because it cultivates our imagination. Without it, we would be far less likely to rail at deprivation or shrink from cruelty.
In the heart of every stranger lurks a reflection of our own. I was force-fed my first taste of direct racist bigotry in North Carolina when I was 14. Yes, racist bigotry is everywhere, but this was different, at least for this Connecticut-born girl who grew up learning that prejudice should be hidden. Friends that I had made on a beach vacation were giving me a tour of their town. There's our high school, and that's where we get ice cream. And over there, that's N-Town. Full stop. Who am I in the car with? Who are these people? One of my dearest college friends, a fighter for justice and equality, hails from North Carolina. The state is not wholly corrupt. No place is. It bears beautiful fruit as well as strange fruit. But all the strange fruit hanging from its history shapes its present. Strange fruit. Do you know that phrase? I see some nods out there. Nina Simone sung about it. It's the fruit of the lynch mob, the black men and sometimes women whose bodies bore the brunt of racist hate. As she says, here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, here is a strange and bitter crop. A state-sanctioned bitter crop. Sanctioned by the turning of a blind eye, sanctioned by families that teach their children to name a part of their town after a slur, sanctioned by white justice, sanctioned by a history of terror. North Carolina just sanctioned the stripping of gay, bisexual, and transgendered people's basic protections. HB 2, signed into law by Governor Pat McCrory, allows county magistrates in North Carolina to refuse to perform civil marriage ceremonies for same-sex couples or any other couple if it violates their religious beliefs. It allows some county employees to refuse to handle marriage license for couples that don't meet their religious standards, and it bars transgendered people from using bathrooms that don't match the gender on their birth certificates. When the governor of Georgia, Governor Deal, just this last week vetoed a similarly discriminatory law, he said, "In light of our history, I find it ironic that today some in the religious community feel it necessary to ask the government to confer upon them certain rights and protections. In light of our history." A history, I add, where certain rights and protections were given to those who used unjust rights and protections for racist terror. In light of our history, Governor Deal, amen.
Amen.
The history of these great United States, all of them, is a history of dual aims and ends. In one sense, we are a nation committed to extending freedoms in ways that no nation before us understood or allowed. In another sense, we are a nation committed to segregating and sacrificing whatever group is easiest to scapegoat, easiest to hate, easiest to use to ballast our own sense of superiority, our own supremacy, white supremacy, Christian supremacy, straight supremacy. And both these aims, to extend and to deny freedoms, have roots in our religious history. In the same faith traditions, the same halls of faith practice, both do. We'll come back to this. HB2 treats the LGBTQ community as second-class citizens whose freedoms do not merit the protection of the law. HB2 says that their freedoms can be sacrificed to the whims of individuals that hold power. Sound familiar? It sure does. Dear ones, we do not live in interesting times. We live in impalatable times. Impalatable. And I refuse to swallow the bigotry, the strange fruit in yet another guise. Are you with me?
Yes.
Then let us prepare. Virginia House Bill 41 was passed by the Virginia Assembly and then vetoed by Governor McAuliffe. It is doubtful but possible that the veto could be overridden. There will be other laws as well. If the bill becomes law, if any of these bills become law, it would sanction the same bigotry as the North Carolina bill. The Virginia Christian Alliance emphasized their position, and by the way, they don't speak for all Christians. But the Virginia Christian Alliance emphasized their position that the bill is critical to clergy and that they fear for their job should the bill fail. I fear for our souls if it passes. Moses went down into Egypt land, a land broken by slavery and the limiting of human freedoms for the whims of the powerful. And Moses said, "Let my people go. Go down, Moses, down into Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go." Moses was talking about the Israelites, right? They were his people, God's people, right? Maybe, but maybe not. I want to turn this old story, this old freedom song from the African American experience on its head, shake out a bit more of its truth. Yes, the Israelites were enslaved by Pharaoh, forced to work on the pyramids, stripped of all their liberties, but they weren't the only ones in chains. Hatred, bigotry, it is a prison for the soul. Amen.
Amen.
The Egyptians were in prison of their own design, enslavers stolen from their own higher vision. Let my people go says that the God that is big enough to recognize the whole human race, let them go because the chains they use to bind others bind their own souls tenfold. Clergy, religious persons, and religious institutions, we already have multiple layers of legislation protecting us in our beliefs and practices. Passage of the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom in 1786 gave us the freedom to maintain our own opinions and beliefs without the fear that the state would retaliate by depriving us of our civil and political rights. 1786, that's when we got these rights and protections. The idea of religious liberty, the idea that we should be free to choose as our conscience dictates, has already been woven into the protections of the state and this nation. And we would have all of the world religions to thank for these protections. We do. Do not oppress an alien. You yourself know how it feels to be aliens because you were aliens in Egypt. Exodus, Jewish. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans, Christian. God commands justice, the doing of good. The Quran, Muslim. This is the sum of duty. Do not unto others what you would have them do unto you. Mahabharata, Hindu. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Yudhanavarga, Buddhist. We affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every being. First principle, Unitarian Universalist. And it was a religious defense that the governor of Georgia used to make his most prescient point for his veto. If indeed our religious liberty is conferred by God, he said, and not man-made government, we should heed the hands-off admonition of the First Amendment to our Constitution. When legislative bodies attempt to do otherwise, the inclusions and omissions in their statutes can lead to discrimination. That is too great a risk to take. Amen.
Amen.
But here's the kicker. You can trace the roots of discrimination, the roots of state-sanctioned bigotry, to religious ideas as well. You won't hear me praising these ideas, but it's honest to attest their presence. When a believer allows their faith to turn into a purity game, to let it mean salvation for a few and damnation for all the rest, religion becomes less about golden rules and more about exclusion and discrimination. When a believer assumes that their truth is God's truth, religion coexists, condones, and legitimizes state-sanctioned terror. This is not the religion we come here to practice today. Amen.
Amen.
I've promised you an explication of this painting today, as many of you have asked, and now is the perfect point because it expresses my meaning this morning in a way far deeper than mere words. When Sunjoy presented this painting, he said it was inspired by universalism. He was using a word he knew I could understand. The notion, universalism is that there are as many paths to the holy as there are people who walk those paths. But from Sanjoy's tradition, his familiar tradition, Hinduism, he has named this Vishwa Rupa. Vishwa Rupa. In Indian philosophy, this means seeing the whole universe at one glance. This depiction is meant to express a vision of the whole universe, a spiritual higher consciousness, the totality of existence, a vision that none of us, save perhaps in moments of transcendental bliss, will behold. The black circle at the top, perhaps, that's our eye on the universe. The small space from which we elicit our understanding, the piece of truth that we may glimpse. Yet all of this is there, beyond our consciousness. A reminder to praise and to be humble, all at the same time. A reminder all religious people need in these interesting, in these impalatable times. The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all, says the Reverend Dr. Mark Morrison Reed, a Unitarian Universalist minister who fought his whole life to let his people, all people, go. The religious community is essential, he continues, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen. We cannot legislate freedom by restricting the freedoms of those we do not like, those we feel superior to. Our vision is limited. Vishwarupa calls us to a higher consciousness. I learned this with the Supreme Court's decision on the Westboro Baptists. Anybody remember that one? They have every right in these United States to protest the funerals of our servicemen and women. For me, their ideology smacks of hypocrisy. How dare they presume to know the limits of God's love? Still, to steal their freedom, to enslave them, would steal our own. If we don't believe in the freedom of expression for the people we despise, we don't believe in it at all. To chain another is to imprison ourselves. Those who deny freedom do not deserve it themselves. Go down, Moses, down in America land. Let our people go. Let us all go from the false conclusion that we and only we understand God's or the universe's truth. And we and only we should be empowered to legislate, to force our limited vision on others. I heard a story this morning on the radio. A man was speaking about how he was hurt, broken by these new laws that were going up all over our nation, especially in North Carolina where he lived. And he said, I thought of myself when I was 15 years old as a gay young man growing up in a family that didn't understand. I was terrified, he said. I was terrified. If I learned that the state sanctioned my terror, how lost would I have been? And he prayed for every 15-year-old and younger boy and younger girl and all the people around our nation who are watching these laws unfold. He prayed for them, and I pray for them as well. And I hope you will join me in that, and I hope you will also join me in fighting these laws, in fighting the discrimination that is threatening to steal all of our American souls. Amen.